Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Adam Ragusea joins me now to go over some of your feedback on our shows from this week. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Sasha.
Adam, on Monday, we talked about that controversial cell phone video of Boston police using what some people consider excessive force arresting a teenager at Roxbury Community College. Mm-hmm. And we specifically talked about a point in the video where an officer tells the young woman taking the video to stop recording. Now, everyone we talked to for that segment, including the Boston Police Department, agreed that you can record police, just as you can record anybody else in public, as long as you do it openly. But ACLU attorney Sarah Wunsch told us that Boston police have still arrested people for doing just that. And one of those people arrested was a young lawyer named Simon Glick, who taped officers arresting somebody else on the Boston Common.
Simon says, "I recorded it. I saw you punch him." And boom, he is under arrest for violating the state wiretap statute, for aiding the escape of a prisoner, and disturbing the peace. And he had to go through an entire court process to get those charges thrown out.
And in response to all this, Jay makes this comment online. "It would appear that police intend to inflict enough undue stress and hardship on individuals making lawful recording by requiring them to go through the various court proceedings that it in turn hopefully dissuades other people from taking part in these legal activities in the future. It gets citizens thinking things like, I know I can do this, but I don't want to deal with getting arrested. And that's un-American."
Now, we should remind everyone that the Boston Police Department would not come on our air to talk about this issue. But a police spokeswoman did send us a statement.
Right. And as part of that, they said that this particular request to not record made by an officer at Roxbury Community College is under investigation. They said, quote, "They'll determine if any additional training on the issue is necessary for the officers." And they pointed out multiple times that no one was arrested for recording this most recent incident in Roxbury.
Right. Okay, so moving on to other letters, other feedback. The day after Republicans took back the U.S. House, we had Congressman Mike Capuano on the show. He and his fellow Massachusetts Democrats sailed to victory, but Capuano attributed the failures of national Democrats to bad political communication, especially, he said, when it came to the economic stimulus bill.
"There should be a nice, easy website that I can pull up somewhere that lists all the jobs that were saved and created by the stimulus. And no one can do that. Even as a representative of the city of Boston, I cannot give you a definitive number as to how much money the city of Boston has gotten out of the stimulus."
Now, in response to that, a listener named David simply posted a link, and it's to a map at recovery.gov. And if you follow it, you see that recipients of stimulus awards are actually required to send in quarterly reports so that the government can keep track of how many jobs are being created. And the map shows how many entities in the different states are failing to send in those reports. And Massachusetts actually looks pretty bad on that map.
Uh-oh.
Boston College is listed as being behind on their reports, and so are a bunch of like tech companies and energy companies. Wood Mackenzie, which is an energy consulting firm, is behind on their reports. And that's in downtown Boston in Capuano's district.
So I guess that listener, David, who posted that comment, is telling Congressman Capuano, if you want that information publicized, then start by telling the people in your own backyard to fill out their paperwork.
That is how I read it.
Okay. The really big comment getter this week was our segment about the Massachusetts Hospital Association and the policy it has adopted to not hire tobacco users anymore. No more smokers will be hired. Here's CEO Lynn Nicholas from Tuesday's show.
HIV, illegal drug use, alcohol use, motor vehicle injuries, suicides, murders, all of those combined don't equate to the number of people who die from tobacco use. And so, you know, I'm one CEO at least who's in a position to say, this is important and we're going to try to do something in our own small way about this.
Now, that policy affects only the 45 people who work at the Massachusetts Hospital Association, not a lot of people. But the MHA is encouraging all of its member hospitals and health systems to do the same thing. And those members include about every hospital in the state, which is a significant chunk of the Massachusetts workforce.
Right, and that really seems to be what got our listeners listeners exercised about this. So here's a comment. What an elitist stance, Pamela McGrath comments online. A bad idea hidden under a good motive. I've never been a smoker, but I do believe that everyone has the right to manage their own personal behavior. Now, Nola Sheffer of Acton is a lot more sympathetic to the whole idea, but she called into our listener voicemail line to say that she's concerned that a no-smoker policy would disproportionately impact the bottom-rung employees.
In my experience, when going to visit people at hospitals or nursing homes, you see the aides, the lowest-paid workers, are out there on their break, and they all tend to be smokers. I don't condone it. I wish they didn't.
And finally, Dave Egger comments online, people should have the right to self-medicate, but businesses should also have the right to put restrictions when hiring. And then he goes on to say, I don't think it would be as big of a deal for the business to be so selective if the economy was actually working and there were enough jobs to go around and flexibility to move in the market.
So listeners, thanks for your feedback and keep those comments coming at WBUR.org/Boston. And thanks a lot, Adam.
See you Monday.
Up next, a food magazine in Western Mass steals an article off the internet, and the internet rebels. Plus, a group of Boston-area percussionists get together to try to fight climate change. We'll be back after a short break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.